Hello, and welcome to the Laughing Place podcast, the slightly delayed Laughing Place podcast, but that was really more of a planned hold than a skipped broadcast. So here we are on the 4th of July.
Planned hold? That sounds like a shuttle mission.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. We haven't been scrapped.
No, we haven't been scrapped. We're still here. Like it or not, we're still here. And you can hear some of those voices in the background. That is the LP podcast crew, starting with my lovely and talented wife, Rebecca.
Hello.
And my somewhat lovely and incredibly talented best friend, Fanboy.
Bonjour.
And, Captain John.
Ahoy there.
He's talented.
He is, but, well, I didn't know how to finish that. He's not my wife. He's not my friend. I mean, he is my friend. Never mind.
Oh, thanks.
I don't want to give
now
away.
I know how you really feel.
I'm trying to maintain your amenity.
All right. Amenity?
Amenity.
Your paramecium.
He said amenity.
Podcast
that'd be a different Pixar film.
Good one. Podcast at laughingplace.com, 866-718-9408. Let us know what you're thinking about anything, including the movie we are going to discuss right now, Disney's latest animated feature release in conjunction with Pixar, even though it's a part of Disney. Do they still have to say a Disney theatrical release of a Pixar production?
Sadly, yes, which is annoying.
We're talking about Ratatouille, of course, the number one movie of the weekend. We all finally got to see it this past weekend. Fanboy had already seen it, and he saw it again with us. And why don't we click you around a table and just give our general opinion.
Shouldn't we let people know that we intend to be spoiler-free?
We intend to be spoiler-free, which makes sense because it's a movie about food, and the last thing you want is spoilage.
Spoiled, exactly. Yeah, so. But we don't want you guys to – we don't want to spoil the film for you, so we'll keep our comments ambiguous.
Oh, no, not ambiguous. We just won't give away that. Like any other movie review you might
see. And then an amenity.
Rebecca? What did you think of Ratatouille?
I'm not a big fan. I've said for the past few weeks I'm concerned that I won't be able to get over the rat, and as it turned out, I wasn't able to get over the rat. It was the first movie. I don't go to the movies often. Those of you who listen to the podcast know that. Typically, it's Disney films and then maybe one or two other films a year that get me even into a theater.
Like movies that might offer more than meets the eye.
Yeah, like maybe I'll go see Transformers. I went and saw Superman Returns when it came into theaters. That kind of, you know, the munchy food movies.
And
what?
Music and lyrics.
Well, but that was date
my favorite
film.
Popcorn film.
I don't want anyone to think I saw that on my own.
That was a date movie. Okay. But Ratatouille, I found myself kind of looking at my watch. I wasn't that interested in it. And it all came down to the rat. I mean, it was one of those things where I could literally feel myself. I would start to be like, oh, this is kind of, and then something would happen, and ew, it's a rat. So it was funny because I could feel getting drawn into the film, and then I could feel when it was pushing me away because it was a rat. So, sorry. So my view is what? What's the word for that?
Bad?
No. I don't mean like. I mean my view is tainted.
I bet that's what the movie is. So yep. I wouldn't say it's tainted. What would you give it on a scale of 1 to 10?
Maybe a 5.
FB?
I liked it. It's in terms of my Pixar spectrum, the only ones I like less were Toy Story and A Bug's Life, which ironically are the two movies that made less in the opening weekend than Ratatouille.
I don't think that's a coincidence.
Touché. First of all, how can you dislike a Pixar movie that features John Ratzenberger?
A rarity.
But I liked it. I mean, it was enjoyable. I saw it twice. Second time, I didn't want to leave, which is rare, because usually I can't do the whole movie twice thing. But I liked it. I liked it more the first time, but I can't say why. It's nothing like it wasn't fantastic. It wasn't superbly funny. It wasn't superbly emotional. But it was fun, so I liked it.
1 to 10?
7.
What would you give Die Hard?
9.
Okay.
Just because, like, you have to save 10 for, like, you know, the great movies of all time, like
Airplane?
Yeah, Airplane. Or Racing Stripes.
Good point. National Treasure, too.
Oh, National Treasure as well or National Treasure 2? Because I haven't seen that one yet.
The way I said it, it kind of works for both.
Oh, ironic.
What about you, Captain?
This movie is like a fresh breeze on a warm summer day. Or to be more appropriate, like a warm cup of chicken soup on a cold winter's day.
Like a hot cup of cocoa.
Or exactly. Like a stew that reminds you.
Shut up. Go on.
All right, and I just found it. I thought it was awesome. I would probably rank it at the top. I think it's my favorite Pixar movie. The characters are fun. The setting is beautiful. The visuals, I mean, just everything combined. They should just take that whole movie and put it in an art gallery somewhere. It's just awesome to look at. I think everything just sort of melded well together for me. I don't know. It's just something clicked. Not particularly explainable exactly because, well, one thing about it is that unlike some other Pixar films, it's not particularly action-packed exactly, and I like that fact about it. You could just sort of chill and watch this film and the story, and you sort of got wrapped into the story, and it was just nice. It was pleasant.
Wrapped in a breaded... Okay, the food analogy's got to stop.
I agree with Captain on that, though. It was nice to go to a film where I didn't feel like... Finding Nemo for me was a little... For me... was a little more intense than I like in my movies. When I go to a kid's movie, I like to kind of, you know, relax. And I did find Finding Nemo's danger around every curve relaxing. So this was nice in that way. And I thought the animation itself was really, really... I mean, their sequences where critters fall in the water or people fall in the water or it's raining. And it was unbelievably tangible, the rain. It was amazing.
The IOA of movies.
The one thing that I found what? No, I'm not even
IOA. You know how Islands of Adventure,
IOA.
Every single ride
gets you wet.
AOA. Yes.
No. Yes. IOA. He was comparing
AOA.
It to.
Sorry. Go ahead, CJ.
What was I saying? What I found interesting was that unlike with Toy Story and A Bug's Life, and though they have cartoony characters, they all try to sort of replicate reality, like with the way it looks. Once you get to Incredibles, the style of Pixar has sort of changed from replicating reality to sort of making it better than reality. And so one way I think the way that the whole movie looks will actually hold up better than Toy Story and everything, because rather than when you could compare it to a picture you have, it just sort of looks very stylized and the characters are all sort of interesting, and I think it all sort of worked like that. Though it was very believable at the same time. I think that's where it wins.
What about you, Doobie?
What, 1 to 10?
Oh, 10. 10, yeah.
Solid 10. My problems with Ratatouille are threefold.
Okay.
Which reminds me of a Friends episode that I love so much. One, you guys are talking about how it's beautiful. I didn't find it so beautiful. I could see where the art was good, but it was very brown. The whole movie was very brown. And as I talked about a couple weeks ago with Pirates, I don't like a movie that just has that drab feeling from start to end. And this just felt very drab to me, and that really bothered me. Two, the rats were gross. Remy himself, I had no problem with him whatsoever. But the first time early in the film where you see the whole colony all at once, that was absolutely disgusting. And whenever there would be a group of rats in the kitchen, no way. And this was a concern Rebecca had going into the movie. It wasn't a concern I had at all, but I was wrong. It's gross to see a bunch of rats, plain and simple. That really bothered me. And three, it was just boring. I mean, I don't need nonstop action in my movies by a long shot.
You almost fell asleep.
But the movie really, to me, just dragged. And I think a part of it is, and we don't want to do any spoilers, but I don't like the choice they made with the plot. And, I mean, you know, it's their movie. They can do what they want. But this movie was about Remy. And to me, I think they set this movie up very well to be about Linguini.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a movie about Linguini, who was the one character in the film I really liked, would have been a much better movie to me.
For you.
But a movie about Remy turned out to be just pretty boring
and
gross.
I think that you can't really have one without the other, though. I mean, I think they sort of worked where they played both of them. You sort of, both of them have a story.
Sure they do, but the focus is on Remy.
He's saying the way they took the story, where they took the story. If they would have taken the story in a different way that ended up with a certain circumstance for Linguini as opposed to where they ended up taking it, which was more of a focus with Remy.
For example, the love interest that Linguini has a very, very small part in the film. And if the film had focused on him, that would have been a more important part of the film. And I think I would have enjoyed it more. I'm clearly in the minority, but I think I would have enjoyed
it more. That's the strangest thing. I can't think of another film that I've been to where I mean, I was getting emails before I went to the film. Everybody was, oh, you're going to love it, Rebecca. I loved it. It was tremendous. And then the reviews, I mean, the Rotten Tomatoes score was like through the roof.
Just to get some quick numbers.
95% right now.
95% on Rotten Tomatoes as we record this. 100% cream of the crop. Yahoo Movies, their reader scores are an average of A-.
Yeah, and
Kirby of Toon Talk, who's the harshest critic I've ever known, gave it an A-.
And so it's just strange. It was very weird for me to leave the theater kind of going, I really not interested in seeing it again. To know that, like, so many passionate Disney fans, you know, people who I know that they love Disney, and I know that we agree on a lot of things because we have, you know, we're Disney fans. It's just interesting to me that it didn't connect. I don't think it's a bad movie. I don't think that they did any. I don't think it's a bad movie in that I don't think it was necessarily constructed poorly or whatever. I mean, I can't look at it and go, oh, the scripting was horrible. Or, I mean, it's not in that way. It just didn't connect with me, and that's what's so strange to me is watching it. I can't, looking back on it, point to any one thing that I go, oh, well, that. You know, I mean, I know what it was in the film that didn't connect with me, and I don't want to give away plot points, but there are very specific plot points in the film that pushed me away as a viewer. They just didn't connect with me, and so therefore I lacked an interest in where the characters were going because of those plot points. And like I say, it's therefore not a badly constructed film. It just didn't connect with me as the audience.
If they focused on Linguini, they would have to change the name to, like, People Tooie.
Linguini too.
That may be why they didn't ultimately, I think.
You know what the original name of the movie was?
What?
Rats.
Yeah, I remember when they announced it.
Might have been appropriate. That's really, that was gross. So anyway.
You know, there was...
Dedicated to...
By the way...
Never mind.
Right around that part in the film that you're talking about, the little girl across the aisle from us raised her feet up in her chair. Now, I don't know if it was just like, if it was, you know, kind of one of those happy coincidences, or if it was just a gut reaction. I see all those rats, I lift my feet up.
Sure, I was waiting for that.
Honey, I shrunk the audience once anytime.
Well, see, now that you mentioned, like, you mentioned the kids and just reminded me of this fact, that one thing that I found while watching the film, I can't exactly see as much of a child interest into the movie as it is. Really, this movie is not really a kid's movie.
I agree.
It's more for, you know, mom and dad will like it, and you could take the kids with you.
I agree, and I think the kids in the film we saw, it was a 9:30 Saturday night showing, but I think the kids in the film we saw were relatively restless for a good Disney movie. You know, you'd expect it at The Wild or Valiant or something, but for a good Disney movie. And I told Rebecca later, I think the movie was geared a little bit more towards adults, and I personally don't consider that a positive. I mean, you want it to be entertaining to adults, but I think it still should be geared towards children. You certainly don't want restless children.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it reminds me more of the older Disney movies. I mean, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs was just a movie that was animated rather than – whereas now it's more like there's kids – it's so divided in comparison.
But I agree. It shouldn't all be divided. You shouldn't go see a movie, and that's clearly a kid's movie. Adults get nothing out of it. But I disagree. I think Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs was much more a family movie than Ratatouille.
There's
was.
A certain naivete that Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs has that the Ratatouille film does not have. And I, like I say, I don't want to go into plot points, but for me, there's just certain elements of Ratatouille that, to me, are not as...
I know what you're talking about, and I agree. Without giving away, that was extremely inappropriate for a family film.
So I was kind of surprised. I was just kind of surprised at certain plot elements that were in it. But then again, that's something that I struggle with all the Pixar films, that they all have for me some elements in them that I kind of go, why? It feels like, well, we don't want to be thought of as a kid film, so we'll throw this in there.
Right.
And for me, they've felt forced, and in this particular situation, it was also, for me, a little forced. But, I mean, it's just, Pixar films don't connect with me as much. I was kind of hoping this one would because of all the positive feedback that it, you know, and all the encouragement that I was getting, but it didn't. But I'm glad, as far as economics go, for Disney, that it is, because it seems to be connecting with the general public, and that's terrific. What did you think of the short before it, by the way?
Well, before we move on, I just want to say I gave it a 3.
Oh,
for whatever that's worth. And I do like the Pixar films, and this was the first. I like them quite a lot. Some I like, some I absolutely love. This was the first one I just plain didn't like, so it's certainly not a Pixar bias. And the short I thought was boring, too. The short did not work for me, which surprised me, because I heard it was just so fantabulous.
It was cute. It's funny. It was cute, but it's a one-trick pony. I mean, most of them are. So, I mean, if you like the joke, then that's pretty much all there is to it.
I guess so, because I did like Boundin'. Which one? That's the one with the...
Boundin'.
What's the one with
bound.
The bird on bird. The wire?
For the Birds.
For the birds.
That one I loved.
That's my favorite, yeah. I think, of all these one, shorts. Yeah. You didn't like Jerry's Game at all. I remember that.
Really?
You were like...
Jerry's Game confused me. I'm like, is there two people there, or is there one person there?
Well, then it worked.
The funniest thing... It also lacked humor to me, which was sad. The funniest thing I thought in the movie was John Ratzenberger played a human.
Right.
And, you know, come on. Give the guy a rat.
Yeah, it's funny. I found it just the opposite. So it's sort of funny how this works.
Yeah, Captain John...
Shocking.
Captain John, my brother and his bride, who were sitting, you know, down the row from us, they were laughing their heads off. And... I didn't really hear anybody else laughing. They found things highly amusing in the film that other people I didn't notice laughing to the same extent.
It's like our experience of going to Pirates. Like, what's we don't get it. What? Tell us, please.
I will give it that. It was better than Pirates.
Well,
and our theater was pretty full. As the screen time approached, there was a family that came in and they didn't stay because they couldn't find seats together.
Because our family took up the whole
row. We were the whole row, my family and Captain John and
I just
and
realized
Fanboy.
Something. I divide my 2007 movies into four categories, very good, okay, and bad. I have four movies in the bad category, Ratatouille, Wild Hog, The Invisible, and Pirates.
Those
are all good
Disney
movies.
That's
embarrassing. Okay.
Pixar really deserves. I mean, Ratatouille really deserves to be down there with Wild Hogs.
Above it. It's the best of the bad.
What's the on your list? What's the not good or whatever?
The okay are Breach and The Hoax.
Oh.
One of those was Disney.
I didn't see either one of those, so I can't compare.
I have Meet the Robinsons and Breach to.
Yeah, you think as computer animation goes that Meet the Robinsons and Chicken Little. Are
both
better to you
better
than Ratatouille.
That's
really fascinating.
I
don't think they're better films, but I'd rather watch them than Ratatouille.
I would agree with that, but ultimately that's what I care about.
Well, but I know there's a difference between what I like and what's good, and I'm just saying that I don't necessarily think that this is not a better film than those, but for me I'd rather watch those. I enjoyed those more.
And I enjoyed this movie, but I can't climb. It's not like I really enjoyed the movie, so I'm not going to go out and defend it, say, like, oh my goodness, you're wrong. It's really great. I enjoyed it. I'm not going to be a Ratatouille fan with the Ratatouille t-shirt, like, because I really like The Incredibles. And I really like Monsters Incorporated. And those I could, you know, emphatically defend as great movies.
Right.
This one I can't. And I mean, and I love Iron Giant, so it's not a Brad Bird thing. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first movie of his. I mean, and I like The Simpsons.
But he stepped in with all with.
I think that's the problem. Is that this is not, you know, when you see the trailer for WALL-E, they talk about how, you know, they had a lunch and they sat and came up with these ideas for movies, and there was passion for it. Mm-hmm. I think it's missing. You know, as much as Brad got invested in it, and I'm not saying that, you know, I mean, he gave it his all. It's not his story.
Right, and that's hard. I can't even imagine kind of being tossed into the middle of what. Knowing as somebody who maybe I've written some articles, and I can't even imagine like in the middle of writing up my experience going to Cinderella Castle Suite, if Doobie had said, "Well, I don't really like the way that you're going about this. Let's give it over to Doug Marsh, you know, and have Doug finish it." I can't even imagine then Doug coming in and knowing that it was something that was written from me, from my heart in a way, you know, to come in and to do that. That's got to be a very odd working. I mean, I don't know. I guess it's just part of the industry, but that just seems so strange to me.
Yeah.
I can't wrap my head around it.
I mean,
I'm sure it happens all the time.
I did some more digging on WALL-E.
Oh.
Guess who's in it?
John Ratzenberger?
Well, touché. Duh, but.
Everyone's favorite funny man, Fred Willard.
Oh, really? Oh, that sounds like fun.
Now, Fred Willard, wasn't there a rat movie named like Willard or something?
Yes,
there was.
It all comes together.
Yeah.
Who was in Willard? Was that Crispin Glover, creepy guy from
the
Back to
the
Future?
The remake, but that wasn't the original.
Oh.
But, yeah.
Who was in Back to the Future, which was made by Robert Zemeckis, which is the guy that does all those motion capture movies for Disney, and at the end of Ratatouille, they have a anti
Yes, 100% motion capture free.
Yeah, did you see that big thing at the
no.
end?
No.
There was a big disclaimer right at the end saying 100% motion capture free.
Yep.
As it went scrolling
they didn't
by.
Really get 1,000 rats to scamper all over the
shocking,
place.
Shocking, I know.
Well, and I'm thinking, is that hurting Robert Zemeckis' feelings, considering he just made this huge deal with Disney? But what do I know?
You know plenty, fanboy. Don't put yourself down. As we said,
did they also have a disclaimer saying they didn't hurt any rats?
Oh, no, I didn't see anything like that.
It went by so quick, I wasn't
but
sure.
But speaking of rats, they had a lot of babies.
Oh, always. They always have a lot of babies. I don't know what that has to do with rats, but...
Because the rats breed. Come and attack the babies. I saw it in Lady and the Tramp.
Oh, gotcha.
Really?
Okay.
I was thinking that... Well, I mean, mice breed a lot.
Did you get that feeling when they would show the rats, like, as supposedly scary, and then you find out it's, like, some, you know, lovable rat? That it was, like, the same exact frame from Lady and the Tramp?
Yeah, they even had, like, the red eyes and everything.
Oh, it was creepy.
And I know we don't want to have any spoilers, but Fanboy did particularly enjoy the very tail end of the movie where they said...
Ratatouille, it's a cookbook.
Oh, you guys are embarrassing.
Yeah, we are. We try.
Oh,
how let's go on Tower Terror.
$47 million. Is that a good opening weekend?
Good, sure. It's not great.
It was under the lowest expectations that I read. The bottom figure I read as far as expectations was, I think, 48 on Friday, based on Friday's performance. So, I mean, it came under that, but... It's
July
been a disappointing,
4th is coming up.
And it's been a disappointing summer season overall. So, you know,
the Chuck Vian, however you pronounce it, from Walt Disney Motion Picture Distribution, is going out there saying we didn't expect a huge weekend because it's a competitive summer, but because the movie's getting great buzz, this table notwithstanding, apparently, that you know they expect the word of mouth to build over the 4th of July weekend and just for it to play long and accumulate very much the same way Toy Story did, in that the word got out.
Right. That makes sense to me.
That's why you're not... I mean, they did, like, the big cheese tour and stuff, but it's
right.
not being promoted like Chicken Little was, where they really needed that one to have
sure.
a big weekend.
Well, I hope it does do well. People do seem to like it, and I will admit I'm wrong about this one, but, you know. Fanboy, you got the scoop on some changes at Walt Disney World you'd like to share with your podcasting audience.
Well, word on the street, which I guess would be either Hollywood Boulevard or Sunset, I can't figure out.
is the Avenue?
Not that one.
There's not much word there.
There's a... is that Michael O'Groton, speaking of, you know, food.
Cheese.
Is doing some updates with his cast members at the Disney MGM Studios, and... Some news is coming out of that. Confirmed, no denying it, March 2008, Block Party Bash is going to be partying and bashing.
Woohoo!
And down the Disney MGM. Is that a performance corridor? Is that a, what is that, a parade route, I guess?
It's a parade route here.
Wow. We should, they might have to change that.
is that a move from DCA or a copy?
Yeah, it's a move.
Okay.
The units will be shipped over from Disney's California Adventure to the Disney MGM Studios. I believe... The idea is DCA is getting, like, Block Party 2.0.
Okay. Will there be, like, commercials showing the units moving across the country?
Oh,
like
remember that with
the electrical parade?
Oh, that was fun.
Well, actually, they're going to they're going to turn the Sorcerer's Hat into a big cone and put a TV in there promoting Block Party Bash like they did in front of California Adventure.
I thought they were going to strap them to the top of 747s like they just did with the shuttle.
That'd be cool.
Bring them in that way. That'd be fun.
Cheaper. So then they could say that the parade... Required to get here, required the power
of 747.
Oh, very good, CJ. Go on.
Well, there's going to be a lot of character motion around the Disney Imagine Studios because they closed Mickey Avenue in preparation for reopening it as Pixar Place. Name to be determined, I'm almost sure, because it's Disney. So Sorcerer Mickey will be moved. The Playhouse Disney Friends will be moved as well. There's going to be a lighting refurbishment on the Sorcerer's Hat to make it more exciting and enticing.
Oh, that's awesome.
Word is that there will be a new show at the ABC Theater in 2008, middle of the year.
I haven't heard
of it. They haven't used that thing in a while.
Yeah.
I've heard a rumor, and this is just purely on internet speculation amongst folks I know, is that they might do like a take the High School Musical pep rally and move it into the theater.
Oh, that could be big.
That sounds like a good idea to me.
And solve their huge logistic problem with the High School Musical pep rally.
You know what would be really fun is if they went back to what they used to do with their Superstar TV and let audience members kind of become part of High School Musical. So, like, you could, you know, be in the High School Musical
that
film.
That would actually be a great idea.
That'd be fun.
I'll write that down.
Or, like, I'd love to be, like, in a Hannah Montana episode or something. It'd be fun. Just pop you in. You can be Miley's best friend.
Universal doesn't do that stuff either anymore. That was, I guess, being on TV in the age of video cameras isn't quite as big a deal. But
no. Speaking of Hannah Montana, I'm confused by something. I was at the movie theater, and they were advertising the new Hannah Montana 2 CD, and it says, features 10 songs from Hannah Montana and 10 songs from Miley Cyrus.
Right.
Can you tell by listening to her vocal stylings that she's blonde in one, in some songs, and brunette in the other?
They're launching Miley Cyrus's recording career. You know, on the show, she's Miley Stewart and Hannah Montana, and now they're, you know that.
This is as confusing as the Monkees. Are they a real band, or are they a band people on TV that play the band?
Right. I understand that.
I was never able to understand them. I'm not able to understand that.
I think in some cases, the Miley stuff, I think she's actually maybe written a couple of her own songs, too.
Like Deborah Gibson back in the day.
I think so. I haven't looked at the album to see, but that was my understanding. I also heard that with MGM that they're going to have the Playhouse Disney in concert series. Last year, they had them in the ABC Theater, unless they were super popular, like the Wiggles, and then they had it at Indiana Jones. But this year, I hear they're going to have a tent set up over by Twilight Zone or
something
like
that. Right, the same place they do the
Shrek.
No, not the Shrek. The
I said truck.
Oh, yes. ESPN Weekend.
ESPN The Weekend. What do they call that area? The
area
X
we
Play
open up for
or,
ESPN. X Games Experience.
No. That would be
a DCA event.
All right. Get
the
our parks
ESPN
straight here.
ESPN Party Zone or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
Basically, the cast member parking lot. Between Rock and Roller Coaster and the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror. So if you ever wanted to see what the queue line from Rock and Roller Coaster looked like from the back, there's your opportunity.
The backside of Rock and Roller Coaster.
It looks much more impressive from inside.
That to me indicates that they're expecting more people. But it also provides for better staging, because before that stage was awfully small for some of those Imagination Movers when they came. That stage looked awfully cramped. So maybe it'll let the performers also put on, you know, a wider show.
Also, the Jedi Training Academy has been playing strong at the Tomorrowland Terrace at Disneyland Park, and so they're making it a permanent addition to Disney MGM Studios. They're going to build a stage, a permanent stage, mm-hmm. I'm guessing, approximately where the temporary stage was, and that'll be a permanent addition as well to the fantastic MGM Studios entertainment lineup.
Very cool.
Anything else?
I think that's enough for one park. Oh! Well, this isn't part of Michael O'Groton's thing, as far as I know. But word is that there might be another ride attraction coming to the Disney MGM Studios in the not-too-distant future. Ooh. Ah.
That's all you can say?
Yeah.
Cool.
Cool. And finally, they are going to finally drop the MGM, right?
No. That will happen when they start doing a basketball tournament inside the Matterhorn.
Awesome.
So, exciting stuff. Block Party Bash 2008.
That's exciting. I can't even imagine watching those people perform in this weather. But
oh, good point.
Remember all that jumping around?
I mean, that's
a high-energy aerobic workout. So, I mean, that's a big deal. But
it's actually part of the cast member health and fitness plan now. All cast members are required to perform once a month in Block Party Bash.
But, I mean, they do the High School Musical, and that's not exactly, you know, a walk in the park to
No, but there's nothing like Block Party Bash.
No, it's very high energy. It's very, very high energy.
You haven't seen Block Party, have you, CJ?
No.
It's good.
All right.
It adds a lot of energy to DCA. That's something I think people really like in DCA. Now they're moving it here. I really hope DCA doesn't get messed up again.
Yes. Let's hope that there's something. DCA gets a hit, and they move it.
And they move it.
Okay,
awesome.
That means that really adorable Boo character is coming. Remember from the parade?
Yeah,
that is
cute.
So cute.
She is cute.
And then they have the critter that gets the sock on him.
Yes.
In the parade.
I don't remember his name.
Oh, yeah. The guy from Monsters.
George Sherman.
George, I think. Yeah.
He keeps getting, you know, zapped.
2319. 2319. I hear they're also going to get Jackie Chan to dress up in a CDA outfit.
Yes.
What films are represented in that? Is it just Toy Story, Monsters, Inc.?
It's everything but Finding Nemo, Incredibles.
Incredibles.
No, I mean, I'm sorry. Everything but Finding Nemo and the one they did, Cars.
Oh.
And
Ratatouille.
I wonder if they'll add Rat for here.
Ratatouille.
Fine.
Ratatouille.
Well, his name is Remy,
though. Wouldn't it be nice if they brought the parade here and then just made it a little bit longer and it had, like, a rat unit? That'd be cool.
right next to
See, they need to keep up with the like pattern and just add a Finding Nemo section. They're going everywhere. It's like,
oh, that's true. That would bring Finding Nemo to MGM.
So MGM officially becomes Pixar Land.
No.
I mean, not in name, but in effect.
Yeah. More Pixar.
Well, you know, Star Wars, Lucasfilm, created Pixar. That's what's actually interesting about WALL-E, is that it has a very strong Lucasfilm connection. Jim Morris, the producer, is a former Industrial Light and Magic executive.
Oh, very cool.
Ben Burtt, the robot sound designer, was the sound designer on all 6 Star Wars films and is the voice of R2-D2. So it's got some, you know, that's kind of back in the family. It'd be like if Disney made a...
Something with Walt Disney.
Well, no, I was thinking like a movie about teeth. Tommy Tucker's tooth.
What are you talking about?
Walt Disney's, one of his early films was, you know, a dentist film about teeth, about getting a cavity. Someone hasn't read an American original.
I don't know what you're talking. I have. I got to the point where he drove an ambulance.
I know this is funny. Walt Disney did stuff after that.
Dude.
I'm not a big novel reader. What can I say?
You should give it a try.
Back then.
All right.
Cool. Well, that's exciting. ABC Theater. And what's that ride they're putting in again?
Toy Story Mania?
No, you said they might be doing
another
one.
Oh, yeah. I can't tell you about that yet. Yeah, I got to save some.
Good try.
You know,
good try there.
Some.
He's not ready to share that with us yet. He's not feeling good about his sources.
MGM is getting major upgrades here. They're really taking care of Disney World.
Shocking.
It kind of is, actually. It's
really
cool.
Hey, we heard a rumor this week, too.
We did?
Yeah, I remember now. I didn't even see it online. He's showing me images of WALL-E. He just pulled him up on his computer.
WALL-E.
Oh, I want WALL-E now.
WALL-E.
Okay.
He's
a
robot.
But he's so cute.
He's a robot.
He's so cute.
He's not furry or fuzzy.
Once again, there's more than meets the eye.
He's cute.
Well, see, it like Remy is cute and is fuzzy, but according to Rebecca, he ain't cute. So
Remy,
fuzzy is not part of the
actually Remy was cute
requirement.
No, Remy was not cute to me.
His brother wasn't cute. His father wasn't cute.
His father reminded me of Gary Marshall, which I mean, I'm sorry, Gary, you're a fantastic guy, but.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I kept waiting for, you know, him to direct an episode of Happy Days.
Oh, that's a beautiful thing. No, we heard the Animal Kingdom rumor.
Go for it.
All right.
We heard that when the Year of a Million Dreams is over, whenever that happens, and they begin their next big celebration, that the focus is going to be Animal Kingdom because of its 10th anniversary next year.
Wow.
And we just thought, well, that would be a shift. I mean, if it happens, and this is one of those... you know, rumors that has absolutely no real credence.
No basis in
fact. We just, you know, I think some store manager told somebody who was shopping, a friend of ours who was shopping in a store.
Sure merchandise will have a huge...
But there was no Epcot 25th merchandise.
So, this hasn't happened yet.
Well, good point.
So, you know, so it's a rumor.
I promise you there will be.
But so it's one of those way out there rumors. But... I just thought that if that does happen, it would be a shift back because they had been going with global marketing, and you can't really global market. It's not Disneyland, so
suddenly a big that's right. The Big Thunder Ranch gets a huge new overlay.
Exactly, it'd be very. What would you do? Paint everything green? It's like, you know, Disney had the golden everything, the golden characters.
Don't so tempt them.
Like the green teacups to celebrate Animal Kingdom.
Then they'll have to bring their biggest hit, Kilimanjaro Safaris, to California Adventure.
Oh,
because
we
took Soarin' from them.
That's right. They'll have to take an attraction.
Which it would like go up Catella, over to Orgthorpe.
All the way to San Diego Wild Animal Park.
The safari would be, there's the McDonald's, there's Joe the Bum over there. Put food in the gutter to entice the hobos to come out and wave to the cats.
That's so inappropriate. That is so wild.
I hear that's what this whole, they don't want to put housing in that development because they're investing in an air-conditioned rock that will go there to help.
Awful. You guys are so dreadful. Oh, you guys are so beautiful.
That's great. Anybody out there can draw? We want a cartoonist.
Well, no, we need a cartoonist for the website because we come up with these wacky ideas and we just can't draw. We should just do stick figures.
We're like the Walt Disney of
exactly. Ub, are you out there?
We should draw like stick figures with a little caption. It's like Here's our cartoon for the day.
All right.
Okay,
Captain,
we're crazy.
I think it's your turn.
My turn?
Your turn.
All right. Well, last podcast, there was a question on who supplied the voice for Nigel the Pelican in Finding Nemo. Anybody have...
I know.
All right.
Actually, I thought I knew because I thought I had it written here, but I don't, so...
Basil. Just because everyone... I don't know that to be a fact. It's just every Australian I know is either named Crocodile Dundee or Basil. All
Captain right. Barbosa.
That would be correct. Jeffrey Rush.
Oh, that's right. That's who that is.
So, Captain also known as Captain Barbosa in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Anybody get that right on the boards?
Let's see. Pirate Princess Ed Magnet got it correct.
Shocking.
Yay!
Shocking, yes.
Shocking.
So.
Good job.
What do they win?
They hear their names of, yeah.
They
hear their names. Everybody gets to hear their names. Everybody will be wondering, who are these people? We should find out about these people. And then they get, you know, they
wow.
In other get words, status.
They get
wealthy. Yeah, exactly. In other words.
Someday I hope I can reach that level of fame.
You have a blog.
I do. But I read it, and I go, why would anybody else read this thing?
That's what I think when I write mine. I need to write more than
all right.
So if you like me, let me know, because I'm sorry.
Oh, dude, that's depressing.
Don't stroke the fanboy ego. Please. Believe me, there's not enough room at this table for a bigger fanboy ego.
No, not at all.
At any rate, okay, I got a question
so
for...
Pitiful.
Oh, that's my brand essence.
Okay. Pitiful?
Pitiful. Yep. All right.
You nailed it.
We'll remember that. At any rate, I have a question for those sitting at this round table.
Via Vetti.
All right, I mentioned this last week because I'm running out of ideas, so I thought of something I said last week. All right, who directed Lifted? The Pixar short, Lifted.
Ding. The guy who did another job, and this was his first opportunity to direct.
The guy that used to be a sound designer on...
I need a name, folks. Need a name.
I'm out.
Hang on.
Is his last name Miller?
No.
Oh, well.
Is his first name Miller?
No.
Did he drink a Miller?
Quite possibly.
Is he buried in Grant's tomb?
Buried?
Did he have a strong affinity for George Wendt?
What?
I don't know.
Is he bigger than a bread box?
I feel like I'm in the queue for Pirates of the Caribbean with the Marsh Stewart family. They play 20 questions, and so you spend the whole time in line.
Is it a ceramic Dalmatian?
In the microwave? What?
Is it a ceramic Dalmatian?
Come on, look at your website already.
Oh, let me think. I think I got
it.
Tip of my tongue.
Open,
Gary
the screen
Rydstrom.
Gary Rydstrom. Yes. Who is the sound designer for
if
all
I,
Pixar's?
Let me see. If
oh,
I
he's
click,
racking his
load.
Brain. Is he?
Oh, I, he was born in 1959. He began his career at Skywalker Sound.
Wow, you know so much.
And it all goes back
you're
to
like
Star Wars sound designer Ben Burtt.
Yes, it all connects back.
Anyway, you stumped the band, though. Congratulations.
All right. Okay, now.
Here's a dinner for two for some L.A. restaurant.
No, I get the thanks.
That's what they always
the
want
pride.
On Stump the Band.
What is Stump the Band?
The Johnny Carson skit. Isn't that what you were referencing?
I just know the term. I have no idea it has the real origin.
No. They would...
I had to go to bed, so I never got to see Johnny Carson.
Johnny would say, like, we go in the audience, and they would pick a audience member, and they would try and stump the band, and much comedic hilarity ensued.
Silence.
And then, touche. And then, if they stumped the band, which they always seem to, they would win dinner for two at some random L.A. restaurant that loved to get its name mentioned on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
Tam O'Shanter?
Tam O'Shanter.
Oh, pastrami sandwiches.
Now I'm
Tam
hungry. Now it always goes back to Ratatouille. Oh, yeah. Dude, you were hungry in that movie, were you not?
The food looked good. I'll give you that. Except when it was covered in rats.
Don't eat at... Never mind. I won't go there.
All right.
Even the Ratatouille looked good. And that's generally not that good a dish.
No, it's not. It's a peasant dish.
Going by the film.
Meaning it's made with birds, right?
No, it's made with... People!
Ratatouille is people!
And it's a cookbook, strangely enough.
You know what's
you
funny?
You are ruining a lot of good movies and TV shows.
Did you see at the end of the credits when they had the reveal that it was actually a sled?
Don't ruin that.
Oh, sorry.
Don't ruin the sled.
Oh, man.
Ratatouille is a sled.
All right.
We're all gonna. That'd be another, like, we had this
wow.
stupid cartoon.
Oh, I know that inappropriate moment you were talking about.
What?
when Remy wakes up and sleeping next to him is Suzanne Plachette.
I think the horse in the bed, but yeah.
Oh, man. You guys are ridiculous.
It was all a dream.
This is what happens when we watch AFI's greatest 100 greatest movies. All sorts of random,
which Ratatouille will not be on next time.
Pop into your head. I don't know. What. There's one movie critic, one animation historian out there who says it's one of the best animated films since Pinocchio.
You talking about your brother?
No, I'm not talking about
your brother. Oh, because he said the same thing, didn't he?
No, I said it to him.
Oh, okay.
You were there at the time.
Well, because that would mean that Pinocchio is the best animated film since Pinocchio. I don't know that you were at that.
A lot of people, I think, consider that among the greatest animated features.
That sounds like a discussion for a future show.
Yeah, we should talk to Rhett.
Yeah, Why the Wild is the greatest animated film.
Yes, you posed that question to him. Why is the Wild the greatest animated film?
Come on, you know it's not Wild. Wild pales in comparison to Valiant.
Valiant. I knew he would come into here somewhere.
Someday when they're doing the new encyclopedia of every Disney animated feature ever. Are they going to find a way to leave those two off of it?
Well, you know, those weren't produced by Disney. They were just distributed by Disney.
I realize that.
Which was the same thing for the Pixar films, but somehow those were included.
Oh, that's funny. Well, Captain John has a question for everybody else.
Yes, on the same subject of Lifted, there is a very famous sound during the credits. You hear a scream. This scream has been heard in very multiple movies, and it's quite famous sound cliche. It actually has a name. If you can name the name of that scream, then you'll be the winner of the Captain's Challenge this time around.
Post your messages on the laughingplace.com discussion boards. Beat Pirate Princess and Magnet, and you are a super listener. And speaking of super listeners... One of you
super listener.
One of you out there was kind enough to email us. Email us a question that we will read right now and do our dagnamis. Can I say that on the air?
Dagnamis.
Sure.
And if you can figure out what the definition of dagnamdist is, you win the same prize that the Pirates Challenge is.
That's a ridiculous phrase. Are we reading the email from Brent?
Would you like to read that, Rebecca?
Sure. It's my first email. Oh, it's my first time emailing you since I started to listen, and I want your thoughts on a few things. First, I heard Tarzan on Broadway is closing July 8th, which brings me to ask about... I'm sorry. Here, let me try reading.
Stop it crying. It'll be all right.
Benji, look over your shoulder. Look over your shoulder. I'll be there.
Oh, as much as I know, Tarzan...
He's right in front of me. That doesn't make any sense.
As much as I know, Tarzan Rocks was hated by most. I wasn't one of them. So I was wondering, where in Walt Disney World do you think Tarzan would fit the best? A simple meet and greet in Animal Kingdom, or refurbished Magic Kingdom's treehouse like Disneyland did, or something else? I also heard a rumor that Patrick Stewart might be doing the voice for Spaceship Earth soon.
That's where I heard that.
I think he is a perfect choice. What do you think? Last, do you think it's possible Spaceship Earth will be closed on October 1st? It's 25th birthday. I know for now it isn't planned, but do you think Disney would dare close the park's icon on that special day?
Yep.
So first question is Tarzan Rocks.
First question is Patrick Stewart. He makes no sense for Spaceship Earth because he's a space guy. That's
he's
the
not
one
on Earth.
That's the one attraction he can't do.
But he was
Spaceship
born
Earth.
On Earth.
He was?
Space guy.
I thought only Kirk was born on Earth.
No, I don't think so.
Sorry. I always, when I first read that, I misread it as Patrick Swayze.
You had the time of your life.
No one puts baby in a
I hear when Haunted Mansion reopens, he'll actually be the new ghost host.
Patrick Swayze.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's ridiculous.
And I hear they're adding Whoopi Goldberg because...
And Demi Moore's going to be the bride now.
Yeah. Oh,
thank you. Thank you very much.
You know who directed that movie?
What movie?
Ghost. This is all ghost references. See, Patrick Swayze, Whoopi Goldberg.
Sorry, I hear Patrick Swayze.
Demi
I'm thinking Dirty Dancing.
Well, he was in other films. Not that I've seen any. I can't think of a single Patrick Swayze film I've seen.
Outsiders, I think, was the last one I saw.
I haven't seen that.
Back in the early 80s. Anyway,
But, no, honestly, you don't think Patrick Stewart would be a good choice for the voice of Spaceship Earth?
I think so.
It's hard for me to think of a better choice than Patrick Stewart for the voice of Spaceship Earth. Seriously.
Yeah, he's phenomenal.
It's a great voice, and just that knowing that he's in it's going to bring people there just to listen to the guy.
Well, if my memory serves me right, he provided the narration for a Nova series on space.
Yeah, I believe so.
Or PBS The Planet.
Something like that.
And so it's a neat continuation
of that
type of thing.
And his greatest voiceover work, the Magic Mirror in Snow White.
That was phenomenal.
Enchanting the musical.
That's something you don't hear associated with that show often.
No, but I really did actually really enjoy that fact when we did see Snow White, an enchanting musical at Disneyland's Fantasyland Theater.
So
the voice was Patrick Stewart of the Magic Mirror. That was cool.
So when Spaceship Earth is redone, remember you heard it here first. Rather it's Patrick Stewart or Patrick Swayze. Or Robert Patrick. Or
Dan
St.
Patrick.
Dan Patrick or Danica,
Danica Patrick.
Patrick. You heard it here first on the Laughing Place podcast.
Okay, do you think they'll close Spaceship Earth before its birthday?
Absolutely.
Yes.
It's currently scheduled to... Actually, you know what? An interesting fact? Spaceship Earth opened prior to October 1st.
Oh, really?
Yes, they had a special ceremony by Bell Systems, which became AT&T, to open it so that Bell Systems could get its appropriate, you know, media attention without having to focus on the entire park. So I think it actually opened a couple days before. But yeah, it will be closed for refurbishment. I'm not quite sure how that ended up happening, but in the end, they don't really care about Epcot's 25th anniversary, apparently. So
wait a second. Epcot has a new president.
Jim McPhee.
Mark my words. Doobie makes his prediction now. The guy I've heard such wonderful things about, Jim McPhee, will not let Spaceship Earth be closed on Epcot's 25th birthday.
Oh, he would score. He would score so many points if fans... I didn't know it was currently scheduled to be closed.
How about middle ground? Considering the construction's already scheduled, I can see them going through with that. If on October 1st he announces the wand is coming down.
Oh, once again, I think he would score points.
Either one of those two things will happen.
That would be scoring points. Scoring lots of points.
Because, right. I mean, as much as we know Jim McPhee's great and all, it takes a lot of power that he doesn't have to get that refurbishment move. So I don't know if I agree with you on that one, but...
Because the poster says that it isn't planned to be closed at that time, but apparently it is.
I think there may be a typo on the poster.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Judging by how it reads, I think so.
Okay.
But whatever. That's the way it's scheduled. The first question, I think, is an interesting one. I think Tarzan is Disney's last, maybe include Lilo and Stitch in there, but certainly one of the two last great Disney 2D animated movies.
I think it's last great musical, for sure.
Certainly, yeah. Lilo and Stitch, I guess Elvis doesn't count. So, yeah, that's what I wanted to say. It's last great musical, and it did pretty well as far as I remember. And it has some great representation in California, and it used to have some here.
It used to have some in California, too.
I mean, they've had to close the treehouse.
I thought it reopened.
Oh, did it?
Not
yet. If it hasn't, it's on the verge of it. I mean, they're reopening it.
It will reopen.
Okay. So.
Oh, okay.
And it had some representation here. I shouldn't have said great representation here. It had big representation here.
Mm-hmm.
Now it has nothing with Finding Nemo the musical there, where it might be a good place to put a Tarzan something.
Either Animal Kingdom or Magic Kingdom are just easy.
Or MGM or Epic.
Neither of those.
Well, anything in particular seem like a good idea?
Anything in particular? They should get that golden elephant float from and put in there.
What's that from?
From what is it called?
Parade of Stars.
Yeah. Parade of the Stars. Yeah. So you just take that and put him right there. That would work right there. The meet and greet where he's way up high for no apparent reason.
And the guests have to climb.
Exactly. I want your autograph.
Put a platform up there. Yeah.
A little ADA ramp.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really...
those little elevators that move at, like, half an inch an hour.
Yeah. You can't do a speed ramp.
No, they just take a cherry picker up there.
All right, so you have no idea.
No, seriously, I can't really think... I mean, they had Tarzan rocks. I think just Tarzan is past his prime, really. I can't...
It's all about John Carter of Mars now.
It doesn't seem like he's really a big draw or anything anymore. People have sort of forgotten him.
They've forgotten him because he's not there.
Wasn't it really the music?
Because nobody cared.
No, I mean, Tarzan existed long, long, long before the Disney version in pop culture. I mean, not like the story tales, the fairy tales, which have kind of, you know, became pop, really strong pop culture because of the Disney films. So people have an affinity for them. But I think people's affinity for Tarzan goes back to, like, Johnny Weissmuller and whatnot. So I think that's an odd... It's a more difficult character to celebrate.
Place for him.
Oh, where?
At the Disney MGM Studios in the Great Movie Ride.
I was just going to remember
right before you get to Casablanca. Perfect place.
Just got to remember that. I was thinking maybe like Kilimanjaro Safari. He could be in there with a monkey on his shoulder or something.
No, the poachers are after Tarzan. And then at the end, there'll be a ranger and it'll be like, okay, Tarzan's okay. And you'll see Tarzan like waving through a truck.
In a truck. In the back of the truck.
Simba won, they have shot Tarzan.
Actually, out here in Africa, they call him Tarzan.
Oh, you guys are out of control today.
I hear Phil Collins is doing a remix on just
look over your shoulder.
But honestly, I guess for me, it'd be a restaurant.
Fascinating, because she likes to eat Tarzan, apparently.
For me, it's the music more than anything else that I liked from Tarzan.
Okay.
And so, other than a show, which has been done and not my favorite way of doing it, but it was popular, would be to make sure that the film is represented in song in a restaurant somewhere.
You know where
I have maybe artwork that represents it.
Like every hour on the hour, the cook's back there. Babadoo, babadap, doobadoo, babadoo.
Fine.
You know where I would fully support that music going? Artist Point, because they must have the worst BGM in the history of Walt Disney Parks and Resorts. So anything to get that.
Sometimes I'm not even sure that the CD is working.
It sounds like it skipped.
Where were we? We were fine dining someplace at Disneyland one time, and the CD was skipping, and nobody noticed except us, and we finally grabbed the manager.
It was only fine dining, according to one person. It was PCH Grill.
Oh, it was, wasn't it? Yeah, no, that wouldn't be fine dining, despite certain people's opinion. Oh, man.
All right.
But yeah, it was skipping, and it was the worst. It was a bad CD to begin with. It was some choir. Wasn't it a choir performing Beatles music or something?
That would be Jerry's managerial days.
I'm pretty sure it was a choir, but oh, man. And it was just that part where it just skipped. Dude.
So a restaurant for Rebecca.
I think a restaurant.
On top of a golden elephant for CJ.
Oh, yeah.
It's past its prime for a fanboy. And I want to see him swinging through the Kilimanjaro Safari.
What if they rethemed Tom Sawyer Island to be Tarzan Island?
It's just a bad place, though. What is Tarzan doing in the old American?
I have an idea. If we ever
what about the tree
park,
house?
Yeah.
There's a tree house here,
that's
you know.
Right. I forget here it's not very close to Adventureland like it is at Disneyland. You can almost budget there because it's, you know, you could retheme the
Hong Kong, it's in Adventureland.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Doesn't he have an island?
Yes, that's
right. That's where. Never
mind. Yeah, there is no Time Stars Island. It's
which makes
Tarzan's
sense
because
I doubt they have much affinity for Mark Twain's stories.
I hear it's going to become Pirate's Lair at Tarzan's Island because there's one line in the book that references the fact that like Tarzan once, you know, conceived of a pirate, and so they're adding pirates to it.
Oh wow!
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, dude. I was worried.
Just like this one line.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious.
But
don't
not.
Call me Shirley.
But you're not.
Well, you're not serious. He got you there.
Every time I hear serious, I think of
Satellite Radio.
Yeah. Beyond AM, Beyond FM, Beyond XM.
I think of Martha Stewart. I think she named her dog Sirius.
Well, because of how I spend my life, I think of Harry Potter.
Well, but see, it's all interconnected, for Sirius has to do with the dog. So.
Yes.
So it's all interconnected.
Yeah. What's the dog have to do with it?
Well, because they're like the constellation.
Favorite Tina Turner song.
Gotcha.
Kind of thing. Yeah.
What's love got to do with it? I thought you were asking your favorite Tina Turner song.
Oh, no. I always get love and dogs confused. So what's dogs got to do?
That will not serve you well when you're married.
Happy seems to be.
Speaking of dogs, what do you think of the Underdog trailer that we saw before Ratatouille?
That was a good trailer.
That looked like a fun film.
Yeah, it looked almost as funny as Shaggy Dog.
No, it did not look as body humor as Shaggy Dog.
Actually, it did look fun. I'm looking forward to the Underdoggy movie.
What about you, Captain John? Not your thing, huh? Because you look like eh.
Yeah.
There was one other good trailer there.
I love talking animal movies. Okay, just that.
They've sort of done everything. The only thing, like flying dogs, I mean, you just sort of jumped the shark a long time ago.
Actually,
they
flew over it.
Yeah, they flew over it, but yeah.
It was very cute. I don't know.
There's nothing particularly that draws me into it.
Oh, you wanted to see B-Movie. That was the other trailer that caught your eye.
No, that's not painful, but DreamWorks.
It's DreamWorks.
The Seinfeld.
Yeah, that actually looked quite funny.
GB laughed out loud. That was the only time you laughed out loud that whole time.
He flies into the window. Maybe it'll work this time. That was fun.
Yeah, you laughed out loud.
It's true to life. Remember? Never mind. I'll bring it up.
Oh, what about the Mr. Bean? I know you want to see that movie.
Oh, no.
On that
Dude,
note.
I wanted that trailer to end.
That was terrifying.
That's not my kind of humor.
On that note, we got some feedback from last week's discussion on Love at First Sight with the character. So what do you guys think of these? Sir at XS Tech. I'm not sure why he's bragging about that, because that's one of Disney's worst attractions ever.
You went on Alien Encounter?
Oh, wow.
Huh?
You went on Alien Encounter?
Several times.
Oh. You're wrong.
I don't blame you. It was better than being... What was the name of the R265799020?
Yes.
Whatever that guy is now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I soiled myself.
Oiled. Unless you're just sharing something that just happened.
No, that's
TMI, dude.
It's okay. I'm TMI, back into dude. Life with the pen, so it's okay. He writes, there are a few characters that fascinated me from the first sight. Lumiere and the genie stand out. Lumiere seemed like such a natural design. There was no other way a living candlestick could look. And the genie, too, is mesmerizing. Obviously, at the time, Robin Williams' influence was a breakthrough, and this was the first I had seen of Eric Goldberg's animation, too. I guess for both, it was just the natural quality of the final product. That's a good point with the genie, which I can't stand Robin Williams. So someone who would like him, I can see where that would be quite an instant connection.
Did you like the genie?
I like him in the Aladdin show. In the movie, not especially, to be honest.
It's too Robin Williams for me.
Or Return of the Jafar, when it wasn't actually Robin Williams.
Never saw that.
Doe.
What?
Doe.
Get it? Was it? Homer.
Yes, yeah.
Right. It was.
Yeah, it took me a second there, I thought. Yeah.
Cool. So Utah Josh writes, Miko from Pocahontas. I just loved how I moved to design everything. We know
Isn't that fun since he was supposed to be not in it, if you remember from
Drawn to Animation.
They were going to get rid of the raccoon.
A hummingbird and a turkey.
Yep.
What's even that? Well, I mean, in that case, like, you only have like 2 seconds of Miko-ness to enjoy.
But he was adorable, and then we know somebody who I think their screen name is Smiko, right?
Yes.
Smiko, and she's
quite a fan.
She is obsessed. I mean, it's just everywhere. She has rings and necklaces and pins and plush, and Miko is her thing.
It connects
with her.
Obsession. Utah Josh also writes, Timon from Lion King. Nathan Lane really blew this out of the park, and he was such a great design, too. John Silver from Treasure Planet. Perfect voice casting, Glenn Keane, and CGI plus hand-drawn perfection.
Okay, who was the voice of John Silver? I don't even remember.
Do.
Wow, you don't remember either? You have to look it up? Wow.
Is this anybody? I mean, is it...
That's just so weird. Because I remember I agree with Utah Josh that it was perfect casting.
Right.
Like, dude.
Yeah, it was very... Yeah, I should remember this.
It was... Brian Murray. Also, who's known for his Broadway debut in All in Good Time in 1965.
So just a good voice.
Well, that would be why I don't remember. Yeah. Oh, wow, how interesting.
And he also, Utah Josh also writes Kronk from Emperor's New Groove. Just to
Patrick Warburton. Okay. Speaking of underdog.
And now Remy from Ratatouille. Patton's voice work is great, and the character is just so likable.
Okay, talking about that, I was watching a King of Queens rerun the other day, and Patton... Oswald is one of the characters in that show. This particular episode, he was backstage at a Huey Lewis concert, and he betrays his buddy backstage, he rats him out. And Huey Lewis sees this and turns to him and declares he's a rat for having, told on his friend that his friend shouldn't have been back there, and he called him a rat. And I was like, years and years before any of us knew it, Huey Lewis knew.
Patton Oswalt
was a rat. I thought that was funny. Made me laugh at the time.
Wasn't Oswalt
a rabbit?
A rabbit?
Yes. Yes,
Oswald.
No. Oswald.
It didn't have a T. Yeah. It was a D.
Didn't we trade a sportscaster for him or something to be in this movie?
You're wrong.
I want a new drug. One that does what it should.
What the heck was that?
That's a Huey Lewis song. That was his first hit.
Oh, I have no
idea. What about
idea.
We're Going Back in Time?
Yeah, that's the one I know.
We built this city. Nope. But there's another one that's Huey Lewis about.
Oh, yeah.
Because the hotter rock and roll would still be in.
Now, Rich, in this thread about characters he bonded with Sebastian. He said, not sure why, but that is one character I love.
Yeah, Sebastian really kind of grabs you.
That sounds kind of painful. Be careful, he'll get a hold on you.
And lastly, got to read just a little bit of voicemail, because you can't read voicemail unless someone transcribes it for you. A little bit of discussion on the boards. Just want to thank Mrs. Elder P., Twirl and Hurl, Pirate Princess, Retloff fan, for your very, very kind comments on how much you enjoy the podcast. Now, the weird thing is you seem to enjoy the fact that we just kind of sit around and talk Disney without really having a plan or knowing what we're doing. We just kind of sit and talk.
And what you don't know is that it's all scripted.
Every last gesture, every last...
No improv is allowed. It's just like
whatsoever.
The Office.
Yeah, actually,
none.
We have a team of 17 writers.
Yep, it's amazing.
Who do all the work. So yep. We'd like to thank them.
Yes, we would. Not publicly, though.
No, because they want to stay on the DL.
Yeah.
And but
they want to go to Disneyland, apparently.
But glad they're doing such a good job, and glad you're enjoying it.
That's where Chris Sanders actually ended up, but we'll keep that on
the DL. So.
Oh, you guys...
I think that wraps it up for this week's podcast. Podcast at laughingplace.com, 866-718-9408. We'd especially like to hear, what would we like to hear?
What people think of Ratatouille.
Yeah, that's what I knew there was something. We'd like to hear what you think of Ratatouille.
Although we'll listen to how great we are again if you feel the need.
Oh, actually, we've had enough of that.
No, really.
Like I said, fanboy's head can't get any bigger.
Yeah.
But I am curious to know if anybody out there at all agrees with Rebecca and I that this movie just is not good, because it's hard to find people that feel that way. Podcast left me like that.
And I'd like to know what you liked about it. Not just you liked it, but right. Why? What was it about it that you liked?
Especially if you liked the movie beyond the art. I mean, I can handle it being a pretty, it being artistry and all that. But if you actually like just the film.
Did the story connect with you in some way?
Let us know. Podcast at laughingplace.com, 866-718-9408. As we said, this podcast is a little bit late this week because we did want to see Ratatouille. And
I thought it was early.
And with the holiday this week, we will not be having one on Friday, so this one will suffice until next week. And before we say goodbye until next week, we will do our usual go around the table and get some final thoughts. Let us start with Captain John.
Well, I found out something quite interesting. And
we'll be the judge of that.
Well, I find it quite hilarious. Long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, there were pictures released of Captain Jack Sparrow in this Asian costume, which eventually was revealed was actually fake. And so magazines were asked to stop publishing it and everything. Well, later on, like earlier this week, I actually found that Stitch has a new pin that's released where he's wearing this said Chinese outfit, which was not actually official Disney anything. So it's funny that even Disney has now been fooled. So now you could have Chinese pirate Stitch that never really appeared in the movie.
That is funny.
All right. That's it for me.
Rebecca.
Well, I guess in a couple of weeks, the NFFC, which is a group of Disney fans based mostly out of California, but they also have chapters around the nation and around the world, they're going to be hosting their annual convention. And it's an opportunity for Disney fans to meet the people who create the magic, Disney legends and animators, Imagineers, entertainers. They pretty much cover the entire gamut of Disney activities. So if you're interested in learning more about that organization, maybe seeing if there's a chapter in your local area. I know that some of the chapters gather together to go see Disney films. I know up in Michigan, the chapter, they've had certain Disney legends come up and speak to them. The group in Ohio, they've had Disney legends come out to their chapter meetings, and sometimes it's just a chance for Disney fans to get together and talk about what they love. So in mid-July, they have a convention out in California for a week, and then now around Walt Disney World's birthday, they've established a convention down here. It lasts for over a weekend, And you can find out more information about that organization at nffc.org. And just check them out. It's a fun group of people who love Disney. And in a few days, July 4th is going to be here, so if you're lighting fireworks, be careful.
Na 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 na.
Even sparklers can be dangerous.
Yeah.
Fanboy.
Yes.
Was that your attempt to be a rat? Squeak, squeak, squeak.
Okay. Moving on. It is coming up on the 4th of July, and I hope you have the opportunity to not go to any Disney theme parks because it'll be crazy, and I don't want any more people there because I'll be there.
But more room for me.
Celebrate your Independence Day in Disney style at the Walt Disney World Resort in Lake Buena Vista, Florida. They're having a naturalization ceremony for 1,000 new citizens. And it's going to be Meg Crofton will be there, the president. I hope they don't think that she's like the president because they might not pass their like final citizenship test. But who's the president of? And well, it's George W. Bush, but Meg Crofton is, you know, inside the Reedy Creek Improvement District. She governs all.
If only that were so.
Touche. But Gloria Estefan will be there.
Come on, baby, shake your body, do the
conga. Lee Greenwood.
No idea.
God bless the USA.
Bless the U.S. Proud to be
really?
An American.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Is he going to sing it live?
And he recorded it. You know, he recorded it before Jump 5.
What,
yeah,
Bewitched.
He's going to be that's performing it live, and then they're going to have an F-15
citizens.
Flyover. It's going to be a make-you-cry ceremony.
This is going to be such a... Where's Cynthia
totally.
Harris?
Oh, I know.
Tell me they're going to invite her just
wouldn't
for this.
Wouldn't that be great? Because she was the best
you know
at this
be
kind
nice?
Of stuff.
Because we've seen Meg Crofton before, and she doesn't necessarily bring
out... She's a different type of stage presence.
Yeah, and it would be nice if, coming out of this, she creates that same kind of emotional swell that Cynthia had a tendency to do.
That would be lovely.
That would be lovely. What else?
F-15 flyover. That's like the best part of the whole day.
Well, no, I think, as far as the Walt Disney Company is concerned, the best part is the fact that after their citizenship ceremony... They can now be employed by the Walt Disney World Resort and quell the incredibly large staffing shortage they have and actually staff the guest control for their own ceremony.
That's a fun thing, though, to think of the fact that Disney's going to be hosting a major media event on July 4th, which is one of its more crowded days of the year. I'm really interested. It'll be fun. I'm excited to go and to see how it's handled, because that kind of stuff is just fun to watch. As somebody who goes to the park regularly, to go and to see them when they're kind of under the gun, as it were, because, I mean, it's
better not be a gun there.
No, but you know what I mean, just under pressure and...
Mm-hmm. Maybe they need the Propel Fitness.
And then, but the funny part is after they become citizens, they're all removed from the park and escorted to Epcot because we can't afford to have 1,000 people in the Magic Kingdom, apparently. So,
and when they get to Epcot, will they like disperse to their?
Yeah, they'll go to their country.
No, they're supposed to go to American Adventure for a party or something.
Yeah, and see the new 14-second or whatever it is ending.
The new addition to the new additions to the montage, which were beautiful. We saw them earlier.
They were. And I really liked our host for that viewing.
He was a new hire. It was so cute. He was reading directly from his script to welcome us to American Adventure.
He was cute. I mean,
he was trying.
Wrong holiday.
Cute, dude. He was adorable.
He was trying so hard to do everything appropriately, and it was very it was cute. I liked the new montage. Do you like the new montage? I mean, the additions.
Yeah.
I thought they did well.
But you know what's interesting about the ceremony, though? I hear it's going to be a salute to all nations, but mostly America.
Canada.
Oh, Canada. Did you hear about Canada? Are they changing the movie?
What about Canada, eh?
Yeah, changing the movie, eh? Don't you know?
Martin Short.
Yeah.
Martin Short and...
From Monster Sound Show.
And reportedly, the Canadian Idol winner is going to re-record O Canada.
No.
Canada. I'm sorry. It's called Canada. We all
which
call
is,
it O Canada.
Which is the name of the anthem. Canada is the best theme park song in history. Martin Short is second only to Robin Williams on
the
bottom of my list.
Yeah, you really don't like him.
He doesn't like comedy, apparently.
See, I like him because he seems to be a decent guy. He's been married to the same woman for 25 years in Hollywood. You got to give him props for that.
I do give him props for that. He's still not entertaining.
Well, this is a Canada movie. He doesn't have to really be entertaining.
Did he get married at Franck's at the wedding pavilion?
The wedding pavilion? Did Franck do a ceremony? Franck Hilton.
No, what did they do?
He played Franck in Disney's
Father of the Bride. Yes.
With Steve Martin and Kimberly Williams.
Which is the inspiration, and the Wedding Pavilion is inspired after.
After.
Really, Benji? Would you like a cigar and cognac?
It's inspired by Franck's. Dang vowels.
So when you're planning a wedding with Disney, you go to Franck's at the Wedding Pavilion, and it's an homage to the film.
A homage.
Whereas you go to Frank's for a hot dog.
Is that what this podcast needs?
An editor?
Continue with the French theme? Touché.
No, but what did they do to American Adventure? Like, what did they add in particular?
They shortened a lot of the images that you see, so that way they could add in some additional images without having to lengthen the song too much. And they added images from some poignant moments from the days after 9/11. I think the flag, the three rescue workers with the flag, I think was one of them. I know they had the image of Muhammad Ali from the Olympics.
84.
Not 84. It was later than that.
It seemed like a lot of the footage was actually recycled from Golden Dreams.
And then I kind of wondered about that
too. Because they had Frank Gehry.
And then they had the scene of former presidents Bush and Clinton, Bush the father and Clinton. I don't know what that was in association. Was that following Katrina?
I think so.
Yeah, it was either that or a tsunami.
Maybe tsunami relief. Okay. So they had those images, and then they had
has nothing to do with the American Adventure, but they're both presidents.
Maybe it was Katrina.
Yeah. Now that you mentioned it.
I think that would be why. I'm trying to think what females. I know they had some females. I think Whoopi Goldberg was, right?
Lance Armstrong. Oh, no, female.
Female.
Oh, please tell me Whoopi wasn't in it.
I thought she was for some reason. I mean, no, I could be wrong.
I don't remember. I do remember Lance Armstrong was in it, and that kind of surprised me considering there's quite a bit of controversy, speculation that he might go down for doping.
Yeah, I was surprised to see Rafael Palmeiro in there, too.
Oh, stop. Stop. Try and have a serious conversation for all of 30 seconds.
Okay, but seriously, Lance Armstrong, that just surprised me.
But his Live Strong campaign and that story is so powerful.
I agree he deserves to be in there, but if the steroids allegation should prove to be fact, then I suspect they would prefer not to remove him.
You know what was not in The American Adventure? We were savagely attacked by the Imperial Nation of...
I never noticed that until this time. That they very conveniently kind of block out that portion of it, which, you know, I understand.
It's good because I'm right next door.
But, well, there's no need to be, like, totally in your face. That'd be awkward. I'd feel really awkward if I was sitting next to a family. I know it happened. I know it's history, but it's, you know, it's a theme park.
When they talk about slavery, they don't make like they don't know which country had the slaves.
But they're careful in the way they talk. You don't see images like Roots up on the screen.
But you know which brother had them?
The one that wore blue or the one that wore gray?
I'm hoping it's the one that wore gray, because then the one that wore blue, he would just be a conundrum. Which one was simple? Which one was kind? Oh, wait, they both were.
One was gentle, one was
kind.
Oh,
yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah,
I know which one was simple.
Yeah, that's me. No, wait, which one did the cannonball pay no mind?
Shut up.
That would be the one in gray. Anyway, if anybody was curious about that.
And then he went to the Frontierland train station. Yes.
Oh, dude. Enough. E-N-U-F. See, this past week in Mosley Entertainment, got to see Die Hard 4, Live Free or Die Hard. Highly recommended if you're a guy in any way, shape, or form. What does that mean? I have no idea. If you're a real man, you will enjoy this movie.
Chicks don't like it?
Frankly, no.
Why not?
I don't like it because they're with their guy and their
guy's
still in
there. Yeah, I was going to say, aren't there pretty guys on screen doing pretty guy things?
No, Bruce Willis.
Oh, okay.
I mean, if you're into that,
I don't mean like pretty, like, you know,
so,
I don't know.
At the end, did you want to buy a Mac?
No.
You know what's funny, though?
What?
He actually used a Mac.
Yeah.
that's great right there.
Live Free or Die Hard, highly recommended. Wiki-Watchy, is that how you pronounce it?
Wiki-Watchy.
Wiki-Watchy Springs, we went out there. It's about an hour outside of Disney World.
Northwest.
In the middle of nowhere, and you get to see live mermaids.
Middle of nowhere.
It's the middle of nowhere.
For you, city boy.
Getting there is in the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
Once you get there, you're in a little suburb. Anyway, it's really cool, though. It's one of the oldest tourist attractions around. It's been around since what? Do you know?
I think they said 40-something.
Yeah, since the 40s or something. And you get to see mermaids perform underwater in a very cool viewing area in a natural spring. And it's a neat experience. It's highly recommended once. I'm not sure you need to do it again. And it's not the greatest thing in the world. Don't have your expectations too high. But as a novelty, a one-time thing, I can recommend it without hesitation.
If you enjoy swimming, you go, you see the little show that they have with the mermaids.
And
they have a little animal show.
A little mini water park.
And then they have a little water park next door with, rafts that you can rent and ride around in the natural spring and a couple of slides. And it's all based around the natural spring. So, you know, it's just good, clean fun. I think it was, $22 to get in. I think we spent 4 hours there.
About that.
Yeah, we spent about 4 hours. We had a nice time.
But don't go if you have a phobia of peacocks.
Oh, yeah, they have some wild peacocks roaming around that scared my sister half to death.
Okay, I was just going to ask, who has a phobia of peacocks?
It just startled her because we came around the corner and it jumped out.
It was on the roof. It was on the roof. And so it turned around, so it looks like the leaves of a palm tree were sort of coming to life.
And then all of a sudden, my sister Rachel near about hit her head on the roof jumping up. She was so scared. It's
proving that because Disney's more popular and that they're beating the peacock NBC GE
You want to know the Disney connection to WikiWachi?
No. Yes.
It used to be owned by ABC.
Really? And they have peacocks? I see the problem.
It used to be owned by ABC back in the day.
Well, not to mention now there they have a performance of The Little Mermaid, which is sort of a half
Little
Mermaid ripoff sort of.
It's somewhat based on the classic Hans Christian Andersen tale, but it's also got the elements that Disney brought into the tale. So it's interesting.
Like Horatio...
We'll have to show you. We'll have to show you video. It was fun.
With Chester the Turtle.
Yeah.
Well, that's it for this week's Laughing Place podcast. Please tune in with us next week, next Friday. And until then, we'll see you next week.
Happy July 4th.
Good night, Canada.